Hey, God bless you, and thanks for dropping by Kingdom Conversations, where we have conversations with leaders in the body of Christ from around the world to discuss current events, current topics. It's just a place of exchange for the body of Christ to come together. The Bible says that each joint supplies what the other lacks, and so we need to be in connection and communication to be healthy. And I'm really excited today to bring to you a new friend of mine, but who's quickly becoming a dear friend of mine, and that is Pastor Joshua Duncan. Hello, sir.
Bishop, it's so good to be with you here today.
It is great to have you.
Thank you.
The last time we were together, we were in Israel.
Yeah, so wonderful.
And right now we're here in Buffalo, New York.
Yes.
But you are from Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
That is correct.
And Pastor Joshua Duncan pastors an amazing congregation there, Center of Life
yes.
Church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Check it out. And we met through your spiritual mother,
yes.
the amazing, the incomparable
yes.
Pastor Judy Shaw.
Yes, we did.
She is no stranger to the Eagle's Wings family. We love Pastor Judy. And she connected you and I because we were looking for young leaders to bring to Israel. And it's been awesome to get to know you.
Likewise, Bishop. There's no one like Bishop Robert Stearns, but the caring heart that he has for us younger leaders is so important. It's such a true spiritual father, and so I want to thank you for the connection and the opportunity to travel with you
and to be
here with you, so thank you.
Well, we're not going to talk, I don't think, primarily about Israel today, but before we launch into what I want to talk about, which is we're going to talk today about mental health and how is mental health dealt with in the church or not dealt with? And in a moment, I'm going to explain to you Pastor Joshua's expertise in this area. We'll get there in a second. But before we do, give us 60 seconds about the Israel trip. That was 6 months ago, a year ago, however long ago it was, a couple years ago. What's the lasting fruit? What did that change for you?
One of the things that changed for me, Bishop, was the understanding of roots that we have from the Jewish faith that is so disconnected as a believer. And so understanding the history for me and digging deep so I can grow in my faith, understanding that foundation. So coming back to that foundational understanding of this is where I come from as a believer, and to reconnect with so many fruitful things that a Christian can still eat off of as a Christian from the Jewish faith.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to transition in a moment and talk about mental health. And I know one of your areas of specialty is the issue of attachments, both healthy attachments and unhealthy attachments, which are known as addictions. But it just came to me, and you know, when you don't have healthy attachment, especially in the early years, you know, trauma sets in. Is there a lack of attachment in the Christian church to our spiritual parents, the Jews?
I would say so.
And has that caused trauma?
Yeah, because it creates this insecurity. It creates a high level of anxiety or anxiousness. And so you start reaching for other things to make you secure. And so you look at what has the Christian faith reached for.
Wow.
Instead of reaching back, reaching forward to other things that are not. So idolatry or focus on other things that are not God, you know, running to other spiritual things that are now out there and trying to bring them into the Christian faith instead of reaching back
to our
roots that bring us security.
That's powerful. Well, years ago, many, many years ago, my goodness, 25, 30 years ago, I came across a book called Addiction and Grace by a man named Dr. Gerald May. And it was the first time I had ever heard that there was such a thing as a Christian psychologist.
Wow.
Because 30 years ago, this was not, you know, this was not really talked about very much.
Very true.
There was an enormous divide, even greater than there is now, between mental health and spiritual practice. And that was a very, very powerful book for me. And because he talks about addiction, not we think of addiction of alcohol or drugs. He talks about emotional addictions.
Yes.
He talks about, you know, addictions to stress, addictions to fear, all these kinds of things. But what that book and that journey did for me is it sparked inside of me really a lifelong desire to see a healthier conversation between theology and psychology. Mm-hmm. Because these domains have too often seen themselves as at odds.
Yeah.
They've seen themselves as almost enemies, really, or certainly not on the same page. Mm-hmm. But I think if you can have a healthy integration between theology and psychology, I think it could be transformative. And so when I met you in Israel, and when I learned that you have a master's degree with a specialty in addiction counseling, is
correct.
That right?
Yeah, addiction, mental health and counseling. Mental health and addiction counseling. Yeah.
Mental health and addiction counseling is your master's. Mm-hmm. You're working now on a doctorate. You're almost done.
Yeah.
In developmental psychology. And then I just started hearing you talk on the trip. Mm-hmm. And I saw the depth of who you are. Mm-hmm. I saw the substance that you would bring to conversations, both from the theological side and the psychological side. Mm-hmm. I felt like I found in one person that coming together of these two disciplines. And so talk to us about that. Talk to us about your journey into the mental health field, wherever you want to go, wherever you want to start. But it's a necessary conversation.
Yeah. Thank you, Bishop, because it's so true. You know, just quickly, my background, my biological mother, she I'm adopted. I was adopted by a pastor and Christian family, but my biological mother, she was a crack addict and suffered from schizophrenia. Mm. And so I was officially adopted when I was 2 years old.
Wow.
And the doctor said if I lived past the age of two, I would, you know, be mentally handicapped. But thanks be to God, he, you know, I'm a miracle. And because I was experienced all the drugs and things like that in the womb from my biological mother.
My goodness.
And but God put me in this home, this new environment, where I was able to be nurtured and cared for and receive healing and love.
Bible
and
says attention. God takes the solitary and places them in families.
Yes, and so family is so important. But one thing in my journey of getting to this place is learning how that prior to birth impacted my own development. Because there's studies show there's a lot of things that the baby experiences in utero. And so as I started to grow, I struggled with self-identity, with self-esteem, feeling rejected, even though my mom took me everywhere. She had to trick me to leave because I was watching to see when she'd leave because I would be just a crying mess. And so as I got older, as an adult, all these things started to merge. Of why do I act this way? Why do I withdraw? Why am I silent? And so when I got into my master's program and I started on the journey of studying all the family systems and things like that, then I began to understand the how come. Mm-hmm. I became more self-aware of how come. And so as I talk about, you know, you talk about addiction, one of the things I say about addiction is it's really pain management, because all of us are in recovery from something. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't have to be necessarily alcohol or drugs, right. But all of us are in recovery from avoidant behavior.
Avoidant
meaning that I have this problem, we have a problem, we have a conflict, and because I know we have a conflict, I'm just going to stay away from you.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to stay away from you.
That always works real well.
Right. and so what happens is you get into this habit of staying away, all of a sudden you have all this unresolved stuff, and then it all comes tumbling down, and then you have negative coping, but then you may drink, then you may, you know, have sex, or whatever it may be to then make yourself feel good. And so what I found is that learning about addiction, learning about mental health, put me on this journey of dealing with the shame that I had.
And I want to interrupt you because I really think that so many times we hear the word addiction and we immediately just, we basically go to drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, like definitely. And, right away.
Oh, those addicts, you know, they're in the program.
Yeah.
But we're talking about addiction.
Yeah.
You know, addiction to social media.
Correct.
Addiction to your television.
Correct.
Addiction to, you know, I mean, you're talking about, you know, addiction to carbohydrates, you know, sugars.
To food.
And, I mean, so it's really, I delve into that a little deep because I don't think we've fully understood this. And I think we have sanitized the conversation around addiction, that as long as we're not doing those addictions, All my other addictions.
Right. All those people over there are bad.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And so what we have to understand is I reach for that thing that's going to help me to calm down. Mm-hmm. Because there's something that happens in our brain when we experience extreme anxiety. There's this hyperarousal in the part of our emotional brain, I think the amygdala, and it causes our brain to be hyperaroused. And so I reach for this thing because I've got to calm down. And so it may be a behavior. I may just disappear and shut down. Or I may reach for that fast food and then I'm binge watching Netflix. And so all of us have to search ourselves and say, what is the thing that I reach for that helps me to calm down? And is it healthy or unhealthy? Mm-hmm. Because some of us may exercise or overexercise. Some of us may yell and scream mm-hmm. rather than using healthy communication. And so it's important for us to examine ourselves and say, the behavior that I do, where does it lead me to?
And this then affects marriages.
Yes.
Your relationship with your children. You know, I mean, yes. This, you know, that these kind of up and downs throughout a day.
Correct.
This puts us in certain moods that yes. gives us a short fuse. I mean, mm-hmm. this all weaves itself together.
Correct. And so all of us, as I said earlier, are in recovery from something. Mm-hmm. If we are working it, you know, working, it works if you work it. So being cognizant or aware of how come, so you ask the question, how come I do that? Mm-hmm. And where did it come from? So part of being a developmental psychologist that I'm becoming is I look at what happens in childhood, and to birth to death. And so what a developmental psychologist says is that what happens in childhood shows up in adulthood. So meaning that if I come from a system where the way my parents dealt with anger, chances are I'm probably going to mirror that, because our brain has mirror neurons, which is, as we talk about, and you talk about the spiritual side, is, you know, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Because he's saying that when you begin to learn, your brain begins to mirror what you see. And eventually, as you see that same thing reiterated over and over again, that's what you become. Mm-hmm. And so one of the
set
things...
Set your mind on things
right,
above.
Set your mind on things above.
Whatever things are pure, think on these
right.
things.
Yeah. And so setting my mind means that I'm beginning to gaze at something that's going to cause transformation. Or whatever Ralph Waldo Emerson said, what it behooves us to be careful what we look at, because what we worship, that's what we become. And so if I want to change, if I want to transform, I've got to change what I'm looking at. And so mental health and addiction, if I want to see healthiness and see wholeness, I've got to begin to set my mind on things above. I got to shift my mind. I have to put myself in the Word. I have to put myself in prayer. But one of the key things is environment. And in our environment that we experience as children, that's the beginning of how we become who we are, because our parental figures set the environment. And so if I grew up in a healthy home, chances are I'm going to take away a lot of healthy things. There's not perfect things, but some healthy things. But if I grew up in a chaotic environment, chances are I'm going to experience a lot of chaotic behavior mm-hmm. as I get older, because again, the parental figures set the environment, how they connect with us. And so we talk about attachment styles, which all deal with how I connect with my primary caregiver, which is usually the mother figure. So I have, you know, there's four different attachment styles. And the one that we want to have is the secure one, which means that I can trust that you're going to show up for me when I cry or when I'm hungry. And then I begin to be able to trust myself with how I cry and the decisions I'm making. So we see that move from adulthood and how I choose the people in my life. Am I choosing the people in my life because I'm insecure or because I'm confident in myself? And so it's going to reflect in having healthy relationships or unhealthy relationship, no boundaries yeah. or many boundaries.
I want to tell you one of the great pains of my life in leadership is to see very sincere people, very well-meaning people, very passionate people after God, you know, come conference to conference, church service to church service, come to the altar, get prayer, et cetera, et cetera. But somehow not have the tools
yes.
that they need to really navigate out of mm-hmm. this kind of dysfunction
yeah.
that we're talking
yeah.
about. And again, I think it is because we have we've only named a few of these things really bad, and everything else we give license
yeah.
to. You know, we sometimes even create an environment for it.
Yeah.
And so I know for me, I mean, just in my journey, two things that were, have been, not were, but are, have been so crucial is, number one, finding a good counselor, mm-hmm. Finding a therapist who mm-hmm. I can trust and who I can talk to. And that was a turning point for me.
That's awesome.
And being consistent with that. And number two has been the power of rest.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk rest, I just mean simple rest.
Yeah.
Like really prioritizing sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, especially, like if I can schedule at least one day a week
mm-hmm.
where it doesn't have to be the alarm clock waking me up.
Yeah.
But I can just sleep in until whenever that is, and I can just be in that moment. Somehow there's something happens with all that.
Yeah. And Bishop, what you're talking about is a self-care routine.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, as I sit with clients and they start telling me about all the things that's going on in their life, I ask them, so how do you take care of yourself? And that's, I always get a puzzled look, because what does that mean? Because many of us, or some of us, feel like taking care of ourselves is selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, because how can I give something I don't have? If I'm not rested, I'm giving unrest.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm supposed to give peace, how am I going to give peace if I'm not rested,
at peace?
And so, but self-care means I'm taking care of myself. I'm loving myself. I mean, Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if I struggle with loving myself, how am I going to love? The depth that I love myself is the depth I'm going to be able to love my neighbor. And so self-care helps us to love ourselves, because we're taking care of this temple that God's given us. And so many, I really believe that many leaders break down,
mm-hmm.
fall into moral failures, misjudgments, because we're not resting.
Mm-hmm.
We're not taking care of ourselves, because somewhere in the notion is that I've got to die on this hill every day,
mm-hmm.
and then I have nothing left to eat.
And I think that it's problematic, because a lot of that has been fostered by the preaching and teaching in the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there, I don't want to get in trouble with this statement. I don't want to say unfortunately, but mm-hmm. I'll just say in reality,
yes,
there are scriptures that if you take those scriptures only in that context, mm-hmm. you know, they tend toward talking about, you know, take up your cross, deny yourself,
yeah.
all that kind
yeah.
of thing. And you can build
yeah.
a mindset around
yeah.
self-denial, all of those things that leads to some of these unhealthy patterns
yeah.
if it's not held in balance with
Correct.
The rest of the word.
Balance is so important. What I love about scripture is it talks about the mind so much. And I believe it's 3 John says, beloved, I wish above all that you would be in good health, even as your soul prospers. In that word, you know, being good health, good journey,
mm-hmm.
that you'd have a good journey, but also soul, the psuche, the psyche, the mind. So the Bible tells us that. So my good health, my good journey is based on how well I take care of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm not taking care of my mind, that means my journey is going to be troubled. And so that's the type of stuff we have to come back to and say, I'm not taking care of myself. How well can I take care of 100 people, 2,000 people, 20,000 people,
mm-hmm.
my family?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the family is that first part. And so we're so challenged if our mind's not taken care of. So how do I rest?
Mm-hmm.
How do I shut things down?
Mm-hmm.
And we live in this go, go, go environment.
And that's why Shabbat.
Yeah.
Especially Shabbat.
I love that. That's one of the things I took away.
Come on. I mean, the whole country.
Yeah.
Just shuts down.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kept them.
Yeah. And as you say that, Bishop, I dare wonder, as the body of Christ, does a savior complex or a performance-based behavior challenge us not to be able to step into that rest? Because if I shut my phone off, if I do this, if people call me, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And so is our insecurity tied to not wanting to rest? What is tied to us not wanting to rest to put a pause so that God can reveal us?
Well, I think you need to think that through and maybe write on that. And I think it goes back to this issue of attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And did we somehow not attach?
Yeah.
Because can we be honest? I mean, would you like us to be honest or not? To be honest.
Yes.
the Christian Sunday is not a day of rest.
No, it's not.
Not a day of rest. So where are we getting? God's top 10 list.
Yeah.
Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy.
Yeah.
Keep it separate. Keep it sacred.
Yeah.
If we're not engaging in that, we're paying the price for it.
Yeah.
I am so blessed because I believe that Pastor Joshua is a first fruits of what we really need in the body of Christ right now, which is wisdom to walk out this understanding of the spiritual, the emotional, the psychological. So I hope this has been helpful to you today. I hope it's been a blessing. Brother, we're so proud of
you. Thank you, Bishop.
What a journey you've been on. We're so glad
that
you're in our lives. You are.
I'm so glad I'm in your life.
Yeah, so just getting started.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Make it a great day. Make sure you're resting. You have permission from the doctor for some self-care. And keep praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Have a blessed day.